Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, everyone. This is Julie Green. This is the Julie Mad Blogger Show. Tonight is Friday the 13th. It's time for freedom of speech. It's time to bash psychiatry. This is a special night for 1/2 hour. You can call in at 323-443-7210 and bash psychiatry all you want. Let's go for it. Friday the 13th special. Isn't freedom of speech a great thing? They may knock us down, but we get back up again. And here we are. I'm here, I'm alive, and boy, am I grateful. I survived psychiatry. How about you? Well, tonight being Friday the 13th, do you believe in superstition? I had a grandma who was real into superstition, and my parents really weren't, but my grandma used to talk about the following superstition. If by accident you're sitting at the if you're sitting at the dinner table and by accident you drop a spoon, a woman will come. By accident you drop a knife, a man will come. But if you drop a fork? Yeah, a fork. That means you will get a surprise. Isn't that lovely? I love my grandma, and I love my mom too, even though sometimes my grandma and my mom were at odds with each other. And with that, I have a bit of story about psychiatry. Did you know, did you ever hear the story about the kid and the shoelaces? Did you know that it's a lie? They used to tell us. Remember, they used to tell us that a child cannot figure out how to tie his shoes without instruction. They used to use that as the big lie for why we had to be told how to do everything, because we wouldn't know if we weren't told. Is that really true? Has it ever been tested? Do you have a 3-year-old? Have you ever left your 3-year-old alone in a room with a pair of shoes? Has this one been tested? Has it been tested with the gold standard? I'd love to know. I got a story for you. When I was a kid, now we're talking in the way, way, way back land, before some of you were born, my mom did leave me alone in a room. Uh-oh, child abuse. Well, yeah, it was nap time. Do you really think I napped? I was an only child till my brothers were born. And I loved to go alone in my room, unnapping, with my imaginary character. His name was Danny. Oh, I can prove it. I have notes that I wrote to Danny. But at any rate, I would talk to Danny and I'd play with my toys. And when no one was looking, I took them apart and put them back together again. Did you do that kind of thing? My dad was a scientist. He would do that kind of thing all the time. In fact, he encouraged it. I took my dolls apart, dissected them, and then I decided I really didn't want to be a doctor. It wasn't so fun torturing the dolls. Well, then I decided what would happen if I untied my shoes. What now? Mom's going to find out, and she might not be too thrilled that my shoes are untied, and I've made a mess of the laces. I was only a toddler. Yes, you can figure out how to tie your shoes again. And I did. So in that mini test, it was tested on one toddler, and I figured it out. I happened to remember that bit the other day. Why? Later, maybe a year later, I was playing with my best buddy down the street. Well, we were only 4 years old, and she looked at the way I was tying my shoes. Of course, I was self-taught at tying my shoes. I taught myself when I was supposed to be napping. Oh, dear. She watched and watched and said, Julie, where'd you learn to tie your shoes anyway? You tie them wrong. And I looked at her and I said, well, it works, doesn't it? I don't tie them wrong. We got into a little spat, so my mom came, tried to break us up. We didn't get into spats very often. My mom was surprised. We were 2 4-year-olds arguing over shoe tying. She watched my buddy tie her shoes the conventional way, and she watched me tie my shoes, and she said, no. Wait till you hear this. Julie doesn't tie her shoes wrong. She ties them differently. My mom passed away August 12th, 2015. Psychiatry was wrong. You can figure stuff out on your own if given time and space to do so. You can figure out a lot more than they give us credit for. What's your bashing psychiatry story? Call in 323-443-7210. I'm waiting to hear from you. Rest in peace, Mom. My dog's birthday is coming up. Do you have a dog whose birthday is coming up? My dog has given me more help than any psychiatrist ever did. He's lying here thinking about her dinner because it's cooling off after I've cooked it. Tonight I roasted raw peanuts. I did. Not a lot, just I put them in a little pan and roasted them. I just thought that would be really different. It was fun. And then I got my hands all messed up because the shells were somewhat semi-burnt. Boy, that wasn't on my meal plan. Oh, dear. But it's Friday the 13th is what I did. Okay, do I have to call up my therapist and ask for approval? I should have done that over a fire. But I don't have one right now. I had a flame going, you know, a stove going because I was cooking puzzles, drumsticks. Life without psychiatry is good. Life after psychiatry is hard at first. I mean, it's good after psychiatry, but it's hard at first. It's hard because you grieve a whole lot, and it's just not a picnic for a while. It's hard because you look back over the lost years and the years that they were lying, and you say to yourself, oh my God, I could have done this, and this. But if I could impart to y'all a few things, for one thing, it does get better. It does get better. Just if you're suffering right now, you know, I was suffering for a long time. I mean, I was really angry, and the anger burned me up inside. And all I can say is, ride it out. It's that part was really, really hard. I was a hard person to be around. I wasn't easy to be around when I went through that anger phase. I guess I was angry for a lot of things, for losing people in my life to psychiatry. I was angry. Hi, Puzzle. I was angry because I lost years of my life that I could have, you know, had a career and didn't, that I could have been working and wasn't functioning, that I suffered much, much longer than I could have, than I should have. And they prolong your suffering, they prolong your illness state. It was so unnecessary. All those hospitalizations were unnecessary. They encourage the illness state. In illness, by what I mean by illness is not an actual illness. It's a metaphorical illness. They prolong your suffering. Therapy encourages you to suffer, encourages you to go into a crisis state, encourages you to have an emergency. And I never have a crisis now. I never have an emergency. I mean, if I get hit by a car, that would be an emergency, but that wouldn't be my doing. And I just have a deep feeling of satisfaction. I feel sorry for people who are still suffering, and I kind of see myself in those folks, because I remember when I was suffering too. I remember when I thought it would really never end. I guess especially when I got out of the hospital in 2013 and no one came up to me and said, "Hey, I'm sorry." No one came up to me and said, "Julie, I was wrong and I'm sorry." And no one came up to me and said, "Hey, you want to go out for a while?" Or it was a lonely time. No one came up to me and said, "Oh, I'm so sorry they abused you in the hospital." Actually, I was blamed for feeling the way I was. "Why don't you get over it?" people said. It was a really hard time to get through. I kind of felt, you know, before the hospital, I did not feel suicidal. And after they got through with me, I considered it. I didn't really consider it very long, because I figured, well, if I did myself in, they'd prove themselves right, wouldn't they? I was laughing my fool head off. But they really made me feel worthless. They made me feel low down, terrible, like I was a thing. I don't feel like a thing anymore, but I look at other folks the way they feel that way, and I feel very, very bad. I feel bad that they've been treated as badly as I was, or 10 times worse. And sometimes you don't know if folks will ever get out of just the trauma of the way they were treated, and the damages that are done that are just so great that folks just don't know if it'll ever end. There are some people I just feel like I can't help, and I don't know what to do, and it's frustrating and discouraging. Psychiatry has harmed so many people because of the ripple effect. Psychiatry harms not only the people that are directly involved with it, like patients, but their families, their friends, people who witness people who are harmed by psychiatry. And, you know, I mentioned in my ECT papers, psychiatry harmed my boyfriend Joe because he witnessed my ECT, my shock. He witnessed how I went from, you know, pretty okay, well enough to work, to unable to function, unable to find my way down the street and back. barely able to put a sentence together and not really understanding why. Well, he knew damn well why. I regret that a lot of the times I went to completely incompetent therapists and never said a word. Some of them I was just totally polite to, and I resent that I just let them walk all over me with their money and power. I resent that I let them take authority over me, even though I knew they were completely incompetent and didn't know what they were doing. I resent that. Puzzle, you want to get on the radio? Hi, sweetheart. I resent, for instance, I had one that lied to me completely, said he knew all about eating disorders, and it took me a year to figure out he didn't. I had one who was a supposed expert at McLean. Her name was Elsa Roningstam. I ended up with her because she had used the only one who had openings on her schedule. She was a specialist in bizarre personality disorders and was completely bored with me because I didn't have some bizarre personality disorder. I don't know. It was like antisocialist personality disorder or some such crap like that. So get this. She used to bring a big cup of coffee with cream to our appointments. She'd set it down and literally fall asleep in our appointments, and she'd nod off for an entire 10 minutes with her head bowed to the side, eyes closed, and stay like that for 10 minutes. And I'd sit there completely zonked on my ECT, and I didn't know what to say. Do I wake her? What do I say? This is the great Elsa Roningstam. This lady's famous. What do? I was so embarrassed. I couldn't tell my psychiatrist, Dr. Montgomery Brower, Monty. I couldn't tell him, hey, this lady, this Elsa Roningstam, is completely incompetent, disinterested in me, has no idea what she's doing with me, falls asleep, doesn't show up. Once she called time, she was 45 minutes late. She'd obviously completely forgotten. I wasn't important enough to her to show up. She didn't care. She showed no caring for me. She didn't know, after a year, she didn't know what was wrong with me. She didn't know what my symptoms were. She had to ask me, bring me into the session and say, you know, to fill out the disability form, because she just didn't have any answers. And, you know, what are your symptoms? What's your day-to-day life like? She didn't know after working with me for a year. This is the kind of incompetency I was dealing with, and I was so embarrassed because I knew she was famous. I couldn't tell anyone because I felt ashamed to admit it to anyone. The emperor is naked. And I finally told the social worker that I'd been working with. I told her, you know, she falls asleep in her sessions. She didn't even show up. And I'm embarrassed. I'm embarrassed to tell anyone. God bless her. She said, we'll get you another therapist. Or maybe it was Dr. Menninger. She was the bigwig hotshot. She ran the day program I was in. Oh God, that program was terrible. And I think she was the one that got me another therapist. The next therapist was a sweetheart. A few things about her I didn't like, but other than that, I mean, she was kind of a sweetheart. Certainly responsible compared to Roningstam, who was completely irresponsible. It was embarrassing. But the next one, Dr. Myers, was very responsible, always impeccably on time. Don't you guys appreciate that when they're on time? I mean, geez, that alone showed respect for me. And I felt that she at least did that. what I didn't like was when, even prior to meeting with me, she was told I was borderline. The borderline was a cover-up diagnosis. It was given to me post-ECT, and I was told it was an underlying condition to explain away the consequences of the ECT. Of course, it was bullshit. And so I never had a chance with her, and after a while, she just realized it was a mistake and said, no, you have an eating disorder. But it was kind of too late. I mean, she was being laid off from her position. She actually had tears in her eyes that day, realizing I'd been handed to her. She was told I was borderline, and really, they were overlooking my eating disorder. In fact, they were saying I was faking my eating disorder. I guess that was what she was told, but then she realized I had a real eating disorder. I was certainly wasn't faking it. I was grateful, and I told her at least she'd listened and at least she'd cared, and that it wasn't her fault. And I don't think it was, because she was heavy duty supervised the whole time, and there were, you know, it was a very oppressive regime there, very patronizing, patronistic, and male-dominated, certainly. Medical school is male-dominated, and the residency was male-dominated, and I don't think she got to do really what she wanted to do. 323-443-7210 is the number. Call in and tell me your psychiatry horror story. It is Friday the 13th. Do you believe in Friday the 13th? If you do or if you don't, let's bash psychiatry. We've got only 7.5 more minutes. Please, please call in. I want to hear a psychiatry bashing rant. Please call in. Let's hear you bash psychiatry. Those of you listening in on the web, dial in and bash psychiatry. I know you are there and dying to bash them. Use your freedom of speech. Let's hear about it. It's Friday the 13th. Let's bash them. Let's talk about the cruelties. Let's talk about the gaslighting. Let's talk about how they call us crazy no matter what we do. Do you know that once I went to a therapist who told me, get this, he told me he was going to cure me in 3 sessions. On the 3rd session, he said, he asked me out on a date. No kidding. Asked me out on a date. So I told my psychiatrist, Dr. Kimberly Pearson, I told her that the therapist I'd seen had asked me out on a date and that I'd fired him. And I said that over the phone, his last words to me were, I love you. Guess what she said? That's what he said to me. I love you. I love you. Goodbye, he said. She said to me, that's not possible. Julie, you must be delusional. Have an antipsychotic. she offered me antipsychotics. She told me it was not possible that the therapist had said that and that I was delusional. Well, he really did say that. He was completely incompetent. And she was delusional that I was delusional. But we can argue this forever. It's a catch-22, isn't it, folks? No matter what you say, you're crazy. And who gets to determine it? The doctor, who is always right. Goodness, folks. It's Friday the 13th. Let's hear your freedom of speech. I will never run out of things to say to bash psychiatry. Suck it to them, folks. Let's hear some more. I certainly have heard a lot on my blog today, lately, the past few days. People have been harmed by psychiatry. The emails have been coming in. People telling me how badly they've been harmed. My goodness, the absolute horror stories. People have been incarcerated, multiple incarcerations, human rights abuses in the hospitals, right and left, people coming out of these incarcerations and feeling awful, feeling violated, physically abused, everything. Affairs with shrinks, raped by shrinks, the works, you guys. Everything that's happened, the horror stories in the hospitals, restraints, seclusion forever. And let's see, kiss to death by puzzle? No, that does not happen in psychiatry. That only happens here at home, right with my dear lover. Oh, sweetheart. She doesn't like psychiatry either. No, you don't. You're contradictory to psychiatry, aren't you? She got a birthday coming up, folks. November 26th, she going to be once. That's 11. She going to be 11 years old. 11 years ago, I got my sweetheart a little bundle of joy. Brought her home on the subway, folks. Brought her home on the subway. Named her Puzzle. Oh, boy. I think I'll have a puzzle show. Oh, boy. Maybe I will. Maybe I will. It's a puzzle. I wonder if she'll ever bark. I think she did bark for you guys once. I think she did bark. If I can ever catch her snoring, I'll record it. I've been thinking of it. Every time I get the recorder, she stops. She stops, but she'll snore for about 20 seconds. And I try to get the recorder out and get it nearer and catch her snoring. You know the Spanish word for snoring is ronca. You got to roll the R. Ronca. Oh, she's looking at me. She wants that food that's cooking. I think it's all cooked. She was spoiled today. I tried to give her kibble. She wouldn't eat it. Nah, spoiled brat. It's the placebo effect, of course. Of course it's the placebo effect. I love my dog, but it's all in my head. Yeah, I think so. The protocol. You know, in one of those nut houses, they used to have a group. They couldn't think of groups. They ran out of ideas. So they had one called Tea and Toast. That's right. I'm not kidding you. Tea and Toast. So this is what they did. They folded all the napkins. They had to sit around in a circle on a table. Not in a circle. It was at a table. They had to sit at a table. They folded those napkins into triangles. Only if you were good, you got to fold the napkins into triangles yourself and put out spoons and no knives, of course, no knives, and cups of plastic spoons, you guys, plastic spoons. And you get to put the tea out. And we all sat around and had tea, and they made some toast for us. And this was, you know, my eating disorder was kind of bad then. So they would say, oh, do you want the toast? And they'd push the butter. And I was like, well, maybe. I used to say, oh, how many calories in the butter? I'd say that to myself. And I wouldn't want to admit it. And I would, like, count the calories in the toast. And I wouldn't want to admit it. They would, like, sit around and eat the toast. And this is socializing. And it would be so embarrassing. I'd say to myself, isn't this really childish? Folks, you don't have to do that anymore if you walk away. And as the late Pat Risser said, no contact. Don't go back. Walk away. Don't look back or you'll turn into a pillar of salt. Don't go back. Just walk away. You don't need them anymore. Be proud. Don't walk back. You're okay. You're safe now. Hallelujah. Friday the 13th. Bash psychiatry. Keep on bashing them into the night. Over and out. This is the Julie Mad Blogger Show. Till next time. Bye-bye.